save 10% on your next domain registration at GoDaddy.com by using the coupon code Chris1. That's Chris and the number one.
Chris had a chance to sit down with Alex Williams to talk about the upcoming podcast Hotel. Here they are, chatting away in the middle of a Seattle coffee shop.
I see it as just another medium for expressing your voice of who you are. And once you can get yourself around that concept and thinking of it as really just a platform for your own creativity, then you can get your head around, okay, then how do I do this? You know, because then I think you got to first get your head around what do you really want to express. And in podcasting now, we're seeing people expressing all kinds of things, being it, you know, putting their songs up or talking in the microphone for 20 or 30 minutes. And, you know, we were both at Northern Voice this weekend, and Dave Olson did a great job on presenting about the three P's of podcasting, which are his book, planning, producing, and promoting. And but what he got into that was like finding your own voice, you know, finding out who you are. And so I think it's part of that discovery process. And, you know, so what do you want to, you know, so what is podcasting? Well, I think it's just another way to express yourself. And the best way to figure that out in many ways is looking at what you're doing, but also going out and listening to as many possible podcasts as you can.
Well, he forgot the fourth P, Perillo. But that doesn't count.
Hotel.
Right, and podcast hotel. So there's five then. Five. This is almost like the Spanish Inquisition sketch from Monty Python. I'll come in again.
Man, there's one more P.
One more P. There are five things.
Wait, there's a six P.
That works because he claimed this chest in the name of Perillo or something.
Perillo, something like that. Yeah. So. Since podcasting is just, you know, taken off, you've obviously took the banner of Podcast Hotel and pushed that out. But can you give people maybe 5 to 10 reasons why they would want to start to podcast? I mean, let's say they've been listening or they never have listened to a podcast, or maybe they had and didn't realize they were listening to a podcast. Give 5 to 10 reasons why they would want to start their own.
First of all, it's a lot of fun. And you can hear your voice online, which I think is kind of a cool thing for people to then put your voice online and then find out there's actually people listening to it. I think that's a lot of fun. You know, it's like, and then people commenting on it or mentioning in other places. And so I think, first of all, it's a lot of fun. Second of all, there's a lot of community out there that new people you get to know. And when people ask how I got started in all this, I said, well, essentially it was I did this first event, RSS Winterfest, and I met all these people. And they become great friends. And so that's, I think, a big part of it. Another part of it is, you know, it depends on what you're trying to use it for. But if your business it's just great PR. You know, it's like, hey, you know, we're doing a podcast. You know, we're out there, and it's something your customers might think is actually pretty useful, or people who are new to your company might find it pretty useful.
But a podcast isn't necessarily a commercial or a vendor pitch.
No, it's not.
How would you then describe then to a company or a business that wanted to get started in it, reasons why they would want? I mean, you gave us that's a couple of really solid reasons why, but give me something tangible for businesses.
Well, I think of Josh Bancroft right now, who has just been promoted to be their guy who's out there going into the community and you know, just reporting in his own voice about what's happening out there,
which is fantastic, because we've seen Josh kind of, I mean, from tinyscreenfuls.com, most people would know him. I mean, I think he's already registered for GnomeDeck 7 too. Has he come through, John? John Hartman's also sitting with us, and I'll be turning my attention to him in a second. He's social media something.
Yeah, I have his.
Yeah, he's got a new card already.
Media evangelist for Intel now.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Software development.
Wow. Yeah, and they what is it, software.intel.com? Or they've got a series of blogs, a network of blogs at a subdomain at intel.com. And I just saw it the other day. I featured it in Perillo's picks, but I didn't look too deeply at it. You guys are looking for analog business cards here.
And, yeah,
what,
here it is.
What is it?
Josh Bancroft, social media evangelist and geek blogger for Intel Corporation.
But he didn't get tiny screenfuls on there. That's so depressing. Because that's all I know. That's how I know Josh. You know, that's just how I know him.
So I think Josh is a great example of that, where you actually then have somebody who is going to be going out into the community and, you know, just like covering the game developers forum. That's what he said is one of his first assignments. He's going to be going there, and they bought him a really nice camera, and he's going to be going there and filming it. Well, and that's another thing about podcasting. It's all about getting the audio or the video out there, and a lot of people associate podcasting with audio, but it's actually video too. But I think the Intel example is a good one of how you can, you know, just give it to one person and give them the freedom to really talk about whatever they want to talk about. I think a really good example of a podcast that really doesn't work is the one from Starbucks, which is just about...
Wait, so you're saying it's as good as their coffee? I'm not a big coffee from Starbucks fan.
No, I'm not either. And it's really... But the podcast is really bad. It's really bad. It's like... It's essentially it's a full on promotional gig for Starbucks. And
but why doesn't that work though? But I mean, we're sitting here saying that that's bad, but why?
The best stuff, you know, from what I've heard on it is like the actual interviews with the farmers, for instance, and that's really interesting. You know, that kind of gives it. But then it gets into like this kind of co-host kind of thing where it's like, hey, it just doesn't seem as authentic.
You mean it's too produced? So podcasts shouldn't be produced?
Perhaps too scripted, too.
Too scripted. So that's an element of a podcast, is that it feels unscripted, even if it is.
I think the scripting element is something you have to have in a company podcast if you're going to be producing it inside of a studio, because you want to know what you're talking about to some extent, but you essentially want to have a conversation. But I think the best company podcasts will be those from the people who are given the responsibility to actually go out and meet people and talk to people and do things that are interesting. I mean, it has to be interesting, and I think that's a real challenge for companies. Now, the other reasons why podcasting things are really effective is for musicians, as an example, where they're always trying to look for fans, but they don't really have an understanding really of how to do it beyond working in their local town to put up flyers or whatever, or putting up a MySpace page. And podcasting though has shown that it can be effective for bands and the labels. And I think a good example of that is IOTA right now and what they're doing to help promote musicians through PromoNet, which is their service, and they've got an excellent podcast called IOTAcast. Now, there's an example of a company that is actually really smart about how they are doing a podcast. It's all about the music that, you know, from the labels, right? You know, so I think they're up to like 15,000 listeners now. You know, I mean, they've got a nice sized audience, and you know, and so it's a IOTA, I think, exemplifies how you can get in, like an artist can become part of that podcasting community, get their music featured, and just get further distribution. And I was talking with Mary Hodder last week, and she was talking about that a lot, about how like this, like, you know, what artists don't understand is like what podcasting represents is really this very open distribution system that is kind of like hard to get your head around. But when you start getting your head around, you realize, well, there's an open distribution system, but there's also all these little communities out there, and that's where you can get your anchors for then establishing revenue.
I think it's a perfect example. This media is getting further and further decentralized, and even people who are dealing in it right now don't realize how decentralized it is. We've, you know, created our own websites, we've got our own identities online, but it seems increasingly that our identities are... I mean, they're our own, but we need to assert them in as many places as possible, because you have to go to where that community is, not necessarily to where you are and expecting the community to come to you. So the idea of the blogosphere, you can get a blog, you can have a podcast, and you can expect people to come to you. I think that those days are, like, over, I mean, at this point, because it's so decentralized.
Right. And you know, going back to what, you know, you're not so sure what Splashcast is, and essentially that's really what we're trying to do is – You know, what we're doing is we're taking like a player technology, right? And making that available to people to easily put in their own media into that player. So you can take, on the back end, there's a console. And so you can take pictures, you can take audio, you can video, you can put them into the player and then embed them on a website. But we're not trying to be a destination site at all. What we're trying to be is like this distributed platform, because we really do believe that's where things are going, because people do get a better perspective on their own identity when they actually have their own presence somewhere. Now, social networks help a lot in that regard, but having your own presence can be immensely beneficial. And that can be a blog, as simple as a blog.
But it's not necessarily something where you put a blog up and expect people to come to you anymore.
Where you expect people to come to you anymore.
Think about it. You know, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of new blogs coming online, whether they're legit or not, or whether they stay around for a week or not. A lot of them are coming online. The chances of them discovering you out of the millions that are out there are what? I mean, are the odds increasing or decreasing by the day?
Oh, I would say if you look at it as, you know, in mass, yeah.
But that's the blogosphere en masse.
Right. But, I mean, what are you writing about? Is it your personal blog about your life? Then you tell your friends, right? You tell your community. You tell the people who you know, right?
But in many ways, a podcast, if you were to do a podcast on a regular basis, what subject would you pick?
I would pick a subject that's probably related to artist rights and copyright issues.
Okay, so how many other podcasts are out there that address that same topic?
There are very few.
Well, if there's a technology podcast out there, there are hundreds. If there's a music podcast, hundreds. I mean, or if not, thousands on both counts. So the discoverability is decreased because of not just the subject matter, but yeah, because the density of information that we can't digest. We don't have the time.
I mean, I agree. I agree entirely. And it's so it is more challenging.
Well, so give me that now a couple of reasons or a couple of ways that I could manage this podcast planet, if you will, that we live on or that we live in.
How would I manage the podcast planet? Meaning, like, how could you actually make some? How could you get some attention for your show?
Or no. How do you deal with all the information? How do you deal with podcasts? There's so many of them.
Well, there are tons of podcasts out there, and how do you get down to the ones that are really meaningful to you? And I think that's a real weakness right now that we're seeing in the market, especially, for instance, with the addition of video into the equation. And how do you really find what's meaningful? You know, how do you find that? And really right now, how do I find podcasts that are interesting to me personally? I mean, I'm looking for recommendations all the time. You know, what people are saying about it, how they, you know, what they like, what they don't like. And then I base it upon that, and I listen to it. And
see, now the funny thing is it involves no website whatsoever. Yeah. It goes back to your real life friendships and connections.
But I might discover some of that through websites.
Yeah, serendipity, of course, and clicking.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of what I liked originally with Yahoo, was that there was a little bit of a recommendation engine in there, and they were trying a little bit to help you get an idea of what else is out there. But for the most part, I don't think anyone's really doing a decent job of it.
And of course, Odeo is on the block at this point. I'm interested to see what comes of that. I would have a few ideas as to where to take that, but you know, I'm sure many people do. So you've got the next podcast hotel is coming up. Got any details you can share?
Yeah, it's on the 20th and 21st of April at the Swedish American Hall in San Francisco.
Right down the street from Pete's Coffee.
Right down the street from Pete's Coffee, where we can do some podcasts.
Hey, man. I'm sorry. I just love their coffee.
I love it, too. And so we could also go to Ritual Roasters, which have you been there in San Francisco? That's a great coffee shop.
Well, I used to live in that area when I lived in San Francisco, so I'm quite familiar. I used to walk by there every day. I used to meet up with Tontek down at – where was the – I can't remember the name of the restaurant. It was right down the street from the Swedish American Hall. and we'd have lunch there, and we'd open up our laptops and see Wi-Fi networks. And of course, this is like at the beginning, like years and years ago, when Wi-Fi was just so new. You know, like, this is so cool. I can get online at a restaurant. And of course, now it's not ubiquitous, but it's pretty close. So yeah, it's interesting how times have changed us all, but we're all still the same.
So we'll talk a lot about artist rights. We'll talk a lot about, you know, we were talking about some of the things like what we're talking about here. It's like, well, you know, how do you create a place for your fans? You know, how do you create that community network out there? And then getting into, I think, some issues that I think, you know, I'd really like to hear different perspectives on. For instance, you know, a politics war in the media, and we're pretty heavily into the blogosphere and podcasting and such. But what's increasingly encouraging yet disappointing is encouraging in the respect that I'm seeing more and more people using social media, and discouraging in the respect that I still don't see this, you know, the issues that we face today being felt on a scale that the blogosphere really, I think, could help amplify. And so I'm just, you know, that's just something personal for me, and so I'd like to talk about it at the event.